Senior Pastor, Pastor Joe Martin.
Great.
That was better.
Yeah, fantastic.
Maybe I should do this more often.
Yeah, did good. You know how to get back up there again. That's very good. Best in the biz. That's the first time we called that one. Yes, ma'am. You want to speak next week? You sure can. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's 2018. I mean, it's here. Yes, and I think it's going to be an awesome year. I'm looking forward to it so much. I'm really looking forward to this next week. Together, being together, worshiping God together, standing together in prayer, fellowshipping together, doing life together. You're going to hear some great testimonies. You're going to hear some great preaching. You're going to hear, and have great times of praise and worship. And we're trusting God really for a move of His Spirit, for the prophetic gift to be moving here, healing and deliverance. We're just trusting God for a lot. And so I think it's going to be really, really awesome. For 23 years now, we have set aside the first week of the year to seek the Lord. And I don't know what kind of record that is, but I like it. I don't think anybody up and down this street's not doing that, so I'm excited about that. And I think, you know, we've sown a lot of seed over the year. I believe this year we're going to see a harvest. And it's already begun to come in personally and privately for Nancy and I in so many different ways. But I'm trusting God for a harvest for all of you. And that God's Spirit would touch you in a powerful way. That you would really encounter His presence in an amazing, major way this coming week. Think about what you want different about your life. And think about this, that God can do it in a week. He can do it in a week. And so I want to encourage you about this week. Number one, I want to encourage you to participate. You know, some of you have work schedules and things and events and so forth that you can't get out of during the evening this week. We understand that. Come to what you can come to. Come to what you will come to. But I promise you, every night is going to be memorable. And beginning tonight. So I want you to come tonight, kick it off with us, and let's believe God for big things together. So participate. Get your heart in a place where it says, you know what, there's 52 weeks this year. I'm just going to take one of those 52, and really serve and seek the Lord. And so do that. Number two, I want to encourage you to get a notebook. That sounds like a crazy thing to do, doesn't it? In this day of electronics and, you know, iPads, iPods, iPhones, whatevers, you know. But there's something special about writing down the things that God is showing you. This is mine from 2016. I've got business cards in there. I've got lists in there. I've got notes. What is this right here? This is a parking ticket. Parking ticket. Got that? I've got David Lane, there's your card right there. I've got cards in here. I've got articles in here. Here is a list. Book list by Brené Brown of her favorite books, of which I've read none of them. But I just want to be in the know, right? Here's notes from different messages that I've heard. Here's some ideas about from Gordon Moore. Look, I just put everything in there. I put pictures. I got a picture of my grandchildren here. I got a picture of some of our cards in here. And I just look back at it from time to time during the year to see things go so fast that you'll forget it. Say, well, you know, I keep all my stuff in my computer. Well, yeah, but it's something about writing it down that makes it stick in your mind. And so I want to encourage you, just to give, here's my newest notebook for this year. So I just got this. I hope it'll last a whole year. It looks pretty thin to me, but... So January 1st, 2018, got it written on there when I started. And so I started off with Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures evermore." And so this week I'm going to be talking about the presence of the Lord. And so I've been meditating on that, been thinking about that. In your presence is fullness of joy. What if every one of us had a testimony at the end of this year of how much fun this year was? I mean, look at me just for a minute. Some of you hadn't had fun in a long time. We're going to have fun this year. We're going to have fun. And fun, this kind, not the fun of just revelry fun, But the fun of worshiping God together in upbeat, powerful, victorious praise. I mean, fun of doing life together. Fun of seeing our friends, our kids, our grandkids, our classmates, our work people that we work with, see them saved, see them healed, see their hearts healed. See, we're going to have fun seeing marriages come back together and families come back together. We're going to have fun really just growing in the Lord. And so I'm trusting God for that. And it begins with you personally having an encounter with His presence. And so we want to create room. We want to make room for the presence of the Lord. We want to create opportunities for God to move and not have things so canned and so scheduled all the time. And I'll default to that. I promise you I will. But I'm telling you, I'm really in my heart, I really want to make more room for God to do great things. Victor, if you'll stand up back there. I had this word for you the first meeting. I called you out, and you were gone. But here, Victor is our drummer this morning. And I'm sitting over here with Nancy, and I have a direct view to watch Victor drum in there. In the first service this morning, as I was watching him, I saw him with his eyes closed, worshiping God, playing his drum with all his heart. He was worshiping God in there. And the light was off. Nobody could see. I just could see right there. I could see him in there. And I started to cry, Victor, just because your worship of God was so inspiring to me. And that you were taking the gift that you had, you were using it to worship God with. And I just felt like the Lord just gave me a picture for you, a picture of an anchor. God said that you're going to anchor a worship team. You're going to anchor a team of musicians that are worshipers first and performers second. You're going to anchor a group of musicians who are going to begin to write music and who are going to begin to have things come across their heart, come across their mind that the Lord gives them, melodies, beats. And you're going to be an anchor for that. You're going to be able to be a foundation for that. You're going to be able to see what they're talking about and help them put it together. And there's a real stirring inside of you to do more. But you really, what God's going to give you this week, you and I talk between the services, so this is not new to you. But what the Lord's going to give you is a real clarity this season. I mean, a real clarity of how all that's going to work and how all that's going to happen. So I just want to commend you as a worshiper of God to another worshiper of God is that you keep doing what you're doing. God's got his hand on your life, and you're going to be an anchor to a real move of the Holy Spirit. And so God bless you. Thank you, Victor. Yeah, thank you very much. Did you bring your Bible this morning? Good. Good. I want to just... talking about participating and getting a notebook. I wanted you to think about what you're going to fast this week. We can go over this tonight. We have prayer requests over here on this cross. We're going to be praying over them every day and every evening. And finally, there's some of you here, or you may know someone here, or you may be that person here, who if you've been struggling with finances long enough, I mean, just struggling with debts. I mean, it's like you're income is here, and your bills are always here. Your income is here, your bills are always here. You get a little bump in your income, and you get a big bump in your bills. And I just feel like, especially, as I've been praying and thinking about this, I want to pray especially and encourage you especially, is that this is the year that God's going to begin to do something about it. Now, do you know it's insanity to keep doing the same thing you've always done and expect a different result? So if you want a different result, you got to do something different. Now here, I'm going to tell you the secret that God has for you to get out from behind the eight ball financially. Okay? You ready? Give. That's it. All you need is just the courage. That's it. And so I'm encouraging you now. Encouragement means from the heart, I want to give you encouragement. I want to give you encouragement to think about giving this year. Instead of fretting over what you don't have, celebrate what you got and think about what you're going to give. Think about what you're going to give. Say, well, look, my income is here and my bills are here. Okay, well, there's a number of bills right here you're not going to pay, period. You can't pay them. So just reduce this by 10% and just add a few more to the stack. think, well, that's ludicrous. That's terrible. Can't believe a pastor is telling them that. I'm just telling you, you do this by faith and God's going to show up for you. That's what I'm telling you. And so there's some of you here that won't listen to me, won't do what I'm asking you to do. And this time next year, you'll still be praying about, please help me get out of debt, Lord. I'm telling you, here's how he's going to do it. Give. So you can wait and start next year, or you can go ahead and start this year. All right? But think about what you're going to be giving. Now, I want to tell you, I want to just give a testimony to you. The church had a phenomenal year last year. We sent out the Barhams, who are here this morning. Good. Hey, you guys stand up. We're glad y'all are here. Yeah. They were awesome on staff. I miss them so much. They were awesome on staff here, and we subsidized them. We helped pay them for a season while they got resettled in Raleigh, and they're doing fantastic there. We sent another church to Richardson. We subsidized all that. We sent maybe 30 of our people over there. So we lost people and lost money, both of those things. We had a budget of $1.8 million. We brought in $2.1 million. Oh, wow. Now, wait, I'm not finished. You said that you were going to give over and above the tithes to World Missions, 170, how much? 169,000. As of today, we have brought in last year, how much?
169,792.
That's amazing. How do you lose people and give away your best stuff and you still have a record year, bountiful year? Let me tell you how you did it. By giving.
That's right.
By giving. You guys are generous, unbelievably generous. I want every one of you to be in a spot where when the church says, look, we need to, you know, send this, or we need to do this, or we need money for this, that you're sitting on a pile of money. I know my friend Wellington Boone, you know, calls it the fat boys. And he said, what do you mean fat boys? He said, they got a fat wallet. And so, I guess that wasn't funny. Look, I want you to be free financially. I want you to be free. And I'm just telling you, the way to do it is give. So I'm not saying that because the church needs money or I'm broke or that's just ridiculous. You need to get free. And so giving will set you free. It'll set you free. All right, is that enough? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You know, people are all happy till you start talking about their money, aren't they? Acts chapter 2. I've probably read this passage of Scripture, preached on it, taught on it, shared on it more than any other passage in the Bible over the last 30 years. And the reason being is because I have a vision that God has given me. We have a vision as a leadership team for what I'm about to read. And I believe this is God's vision for the church. And so we're going to begin in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 40. The Bible says, and with many other words, Peter testified, he exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So at the heart of every vibrant Christian community, of every vibrant church, is a heart for the lost. It's a vibrancy for the lost. It's a desire to see the lost saved, the hurting healed. It's a desire to see the poor ministered to. It's a desire to see those who are broken to get healed and get saved. And so he began to testify and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So everything that's about to come is underneath the covering of salvation, of our heartbeat of a church to see their friends, their neighbors, their family, their co-workers, their classmates saved, right? Be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, Acts 2. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized. I love it that it says gladly. They were having fun. It's fun when your friends get saved. It's fun when your family gets saved. It's fun when your mom and dad get their marriage healed. It's fun when that kind of stuff happens, okay? It's fun. And so they gladly received Peter's word, and they were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly. That means they devoted themselves. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, there is no semicolon or comma between apostles' doctrine and the word fellowship. It's a conjunction, and. And so the apostles' doctrine was just as important as the fellowship. Why? Because the apostles taught them what the Bible says, and the fellowship taught them how to live it. So knowing it and living it are equally as important. Okay? They're equally as important. We live in a day and age where people think knowing it's more important. No, living it. Living it is just as important as knowing it. And so they continue steadfastly in that. And in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Breaking of bread, we used to think, well, that's something really, you know, get the little communion wafer and that we're breaking. It's taking communion together. No, it's eating a meal together. Having people over your home and eating a meal. If you don't cook, take them out to a restaurant or, you know, just having dinner, lunch, breakfast with someone. There's something spiritual about a meal together. And so they were breaking bread together. And the final it says, and in prayers, they were praying together, praying for one another, praying for a move of God in their lives, praying for the Holy Spirit to move in their family, their friends, etc. So they prayed together. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So as they began to come together as a community, the leaders of that community began to step out in faith, and as they stepped out in faith, God worked through the many signs and wonders. This is something transcendent. This is something that we all long for, but we don't really know how to package it, how to get it. The problem is it can't be packaged. It can't be bought. It can't be bolstered up. It has to be that the Holy Spirit comes. And that's why we've named this thing Presence this week. Is we want to have a moment, create time, create opportunity, create space for the Holy Spirit to move, for the Holy Spirit to do things that only the Holy Spirit can do. And so this is what they had together. Fear came upon them, and then they saw many wonders and signs through the apostles. Verse 44 said, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. I sometimes just read through that passage real fast and then go to the next one. Because it's just hard for me to see in our culture and in our day how this could really work. But what I'm beginning to see is I'm beginning to see it really work anyway. Is that we come beside one another, we encourage one another, we stand with one another, we help one another through crises, we help one another through issues, and we belong with each other. We take care of each other. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. They were happy. They were excited. It was cool. I mean, it was really an amazing community, an amazing time. And the power and the life of the Holy Spirit was there, but the power of fellowship with one another and being together was also there. And so they continued daily, every day, in one accord. Their hearts were together, both in the temple, corporate meeting, and breaking bread from house to house, being together from house to house, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we began by being saved, and we end by saved people being born again, by people being saved, being born again, okay? And so the reason I shared this passage again, especially before as we go into this week, is that we have a real vision for community. This is the Alpha community. This is what Christian community can look like. This is it. This is the one right here. And so what we want to do is create, if we can, an opportunity for it to happen here with us. And in many respects, we have this in a way. I love it that we have a diverse congregation. You know, I love it that and that's what the early church was. That's what heaven will be like. And so if you're not comfortable with other races of people, then you won't like heaven. You won't like heaven, especially, I mean, you're going to get up there and you think, you know, well, it's all just mostly white people and then a few others. No. It's going to be more yellow people there. and more Asians and more Africans and more. It's going to be more than you. So get ready. Get ready. And so we want to model here on earth what heaven looks like, all right? Because when you come to Christ, here's the deal. It's real simple. You come to Christ, you're born again. Your old identity stays in the waters of baptism, and the new you comes out. And the new you is of the same race, the same family, the same children of the Almighty God. That's it, see? And so they had that. So we have a vision for this community. I want to show you a picture of something that I heard last week. I had the developers for this apartment complex come see me. This apartment complex is going to be built at the corner of Cole and Armstrong, okay? Now, if you and I go out to the sidewalk and we turn right and we walk north, okay, the first street that we'll come to is Oliver, okay? Oliver, beginning right there on that corner, all the way to the end of the other corner at Armstrong, the next street up there, is going to be bulldozed, all that. And this is what's going back in its place. Okay, 353 units, 502 parking spaces, all underground. Okay, it's going to take 2 years to build it, 18 months. Okay, it's going to be traffic mayhem around here. They are changing Cole and McKinney from one ways to two ways. We will lose all of our street parking. So you better buck up now, because it's coming. However, I have heard that maybe the streetcar maybe make its way all up here. So you can park down on McKinney somewhere and take the streetcar and come around here. We still got lots of parking over at the elementary school, which some of you become very familiar with later. Okay? And so the developer sent their, you know, two of their guys out because they got to check with all the neighbors and make sure the neighbors have all their questions answered. And ultimately, they want an affidavit from the neighbors saying, "We love this place." And apparently, not many people have said that to them. So they showed up at Trinity Church and wanted to see me. When they made an appointment and came. And when they came, they showed, you know, opened this thing up. And when they opened up, I said, "That's awesome." They said, "You like it?" "Yeah, well, let's show you some more." Said, "Wow, how many parking spaces?" 502. "Wow, 502. Yeah, amazing. How many units?" 353. "Yowza. That's fantastic." I said, "Is there apartments or are they condos?" "All apartments." "Oh, that's amazing. Great. Great. Will it increase the traffic, Randy?" "Yes, it's going to increase." "Oh, okay, good. Fantastic." I mean, they were like, they thought they were in like the Twilight Zone, right, talking to me. Because they just knew I was going to say, "We don't want all that traffic, all that congestion, all that stuff." No, no. You building this is a fulfillment of the dream and prophecy that we have about this church. Is that God's going to bring people from all over the world to Dallas, Texas for new jobs, for new relationships, for new friendships, for new work, for new entrepreneurial activities. He's going to bring them. They're going to get an apartment right here on this street. And when they do, they're going to meet one of you, and you're going to bring them to church. And when you bring them to church, they're going to get saved. They're going to get set free. They're going to get discipled. They're going to get some leadership in them. And then wherever they go in the world after that, they're going to be ready to serve God. Yeah. So, look, is there any way you can add another floor to that thing? I wish every block here had a high rise on it. It'd be awesome. Right, look, if you take Cole up to the next little street, I mean, it's like a two-minute walk. That's Oliver. And take Oliver all the way to the 75, right there on that corner, that whole frontage road part of it right there, 23-tower apartment complex. 23-floor tower. Yeah. You know what I thought about doing? We're going to paint something on the roof so they can read it. "Jesus saves." Something. I mean, look, this is an opportunity. This is a great opportunity for us. An amazing opportunity for us. The downside is you're going to lose some parking spaces. The upside is lots and lots of people are going to get added to the church. Thank you. Glad you see that. So the thing is, with people coming from Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, people moving here from the East Coast, people moving here, and a lot, quite frankly, a lot of younger people moving here, okay? we've got to just at least pay attention to the fact, are we staying relevant? We were, when we first planned this church here, we had corporate praise and worship like we do now. Nobody within a 5-mile circle had anything like that. Now, even the Episcopals have worship like we do. The Frozen Chosen even have it. Yeah, everybody's got it. So there's no differentiation when it comes to worship between us and everybody else on the street. Now, I could argue, too, it's not just about style. I mean, it's nice to be anointed and do it, too, right? So we could say all that. But the second thing is, there was nobody around here that really preached like I did. Now, everybody does. But even better than that, you can get on your iPhone and you get the best preacher on the planet in a podcast and listen to him while you're shopping for your groceries. So great preaching and great praise and worship are needed and necessary, but they're not what's going to win the day. See, I think what people are going to look for, what you and I are looking for, is a non-downloadable experience. I can download worship, I can download podcasts, I can download preaching, I can download teaching, I can download all that kind of stuff. I can listen to it on podcasts, I can online listen to it, I can get it just like somebody's getting it right now, I can get it right in their bedroom, on their computer, I can do all that. But what you cannot download is the presence of God. You can't download that. You can't press a button and he shows up in your bedroom. You can't do that. It's something that happens when the church of the living God comes together and God's presence comes into our midst that cannot be explained. It cannot be formalized. It's something God does. Say, the second thing you can't get in downloadable. You can't get a download, press a button and get a downloadable community. Press a button and get downloadable friends. Press a button and get somebody downloadable who can do life with you. You can't do that. So people are going to be looking for community. They're going to be looking for friends. And my thought is that you don't have to wait till they get here from Seattle. There's people right now you can touch on your block. Many of you live in Highland Park, University Park. There's people in your neighborhood. They're looking for friends. They're lonely. They look like they got it together, but they're lonely. And there's nothing more powerful than authentic community. So we're about creating a community here for people who want more God. They're looking for something more than the nice car, the great job, the big check, the cool apartment. They're looking for something more. And we are positioned to give it to them. Now, I wish I could flip a switch and everybody could do that. But you got to flip your own switch. You got to decide that you want to participate in what God's doing. Yeah. And I'm not talking about going to Africa or, you know, some kind of crazy something that you can think of. I'm just talking about being yourself and befriending people, inviting people, loving people, encouraging people. Just participate. That's it. That's it. See, authentic Christianity is not a spectator sport. We made it that way in the 80s and 90s with superstar preachers. That day's coming to an end. It's just coming to an end. I mean, these mega churches are, and everything has its place. I'm not critical. They have their place. But they're scrambling for wondering where are people going? Where are they going? Average Christian goes to church once every 3 Sundays. And they average committed Christian. That's what they consider committed. So tonight I'm going to talk more about that. Talk about that. But we got to learn ways, means, to share the unchanging gospel with the changing world. Yeah. How do we share the unchanging gospel with the changing world? That's really the key. I have that much more to tell you, but I'm going to wait till tonight. Okay, is that all right? Yeah, because I think we're right here. I think here's what I need to do. I feel like the Lord is speaking right now to hearts in this room. That it's your turn and your time to take a step up. It's your turn and your time to take a step up. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, it's time to take another step. And here's what I'm believing for. That if you will embrace that, that this week, God will show you and help you make that step. Yeah. Maybe it's a sanctification step. You need to deal with some of the unholiness in your life. Maybe it's a discipline step in prayer, or fasting, or reading the Bible. Maybe it's a service step. You just time for you to serve. You've been served long enough, time for you to serve. Maybe it's a giving step. It's time for you to take another step. And say, I'm asking the Holy Spirit right this minute to convict you, to show you exactly the step he wants you to take. And then I'm praying that you have courage to embrace that, and this week, you'll do it. Is that okay? Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Now, I'm going to just pray over you. I'm going to give the Holy Spirit a moment just to talk to you. But Holy Spirit, come now. Lord, that every one of us are at a level with you, we have an opportunity to make a step up. So, Lord, would you show us what that step is? Maybe it's a step in our relationships, serving, giving. Maybe it's a step, Lord, that you have for us, moving more in our spiritual gift. Maybe it's a discipline step. He wants to read the Bible more, study more, pray more. Or maybe, Lord, it's just a step of just creating time in our busy world, our busy lives, for you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, as you bring conviction to our hearts now, if there's anything in our life that's displeasing to you, then, Lord, give us the courage and the presence of mind to deal with it this week. We love you, Lord. We trust you. And, Lord, we're looking forward to the best year of our life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 It's going to be awesome. Tonight at 6 o'clock, bring your kids in jammies. Adults, we prefer you not wear jammies. Yeah. And we're going to kick this thing off tonight with some awesome praise and worship. They're going to be a surprise tonight or two. And then I've got a word I think is right from the heart of God. So, Let's come back tonight at 6, okay? Ready. Amen? Amen. I mean, let's all stand together. Give somebody a high five, a handshake, a hug. Tell somebody you're glad they came today. God bless you. See you tonight at 6.